Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Just a little bit today to encourage you on the journey. I want to encourage you on the journey today. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Very familiar verse in there that we quote a lot of times in the middle of this. Paul writing to his son in the gospel, Timothy, coming toward the end of his time and his ministry on this earth. The apostle Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I want to preach with this thought in mind for just a little bit. Go the distance. Go the distance. Would you pray with me one more time? Just pray for the preaching of the word as we get ready to receive from God today. Precious Heavenly Father, we just adore you and love you today. We honor you, for there's none like you and none beside you. Today, let our hearts hear what the Spirit would say. Let the soil be good ground, Lord, that it might find and take root and have depth. Lord, today, help me for a little while to say something to your precious people that would encourage and strengthen them today, challenge them and change them. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord today. Praise the Lord, and as you're seated, just tell your neighbor, "Let's go the distance." Some people don't mind doing things halfway. We see it all the time. We see it in this society a lot. Nobody wants to go the extra mile anymore. Nobody even wants to go the first one. It's just the way society is in a lot of places today. But in this life here, I want to go the distance. It's nothing harder for a pastor, I would say, than watching people that he has preached to and prayed for and worshiped with and invested in somehow in the middle of their race just stop, turn around and walk away. There's nothing you can do oftentimes to prevent it. Their mind is made up. This is what they're going to do. But when you see the potential that they're walking away from, when you know that there is a reward that they're throwing to the side and really taking their eternal soul into their hands right now, it'll grieve you and worry you, and it'll put you on your knees in prayer for them. I don't like that. That's not the fun part of the job. I like seeing people filled. I love seeing them changed, and I love seeing them take that cross and live for God. I love watching people that didn't even realize they had a testimony give their testimony. I love watching people who never thought they would stand up and preach, get up and preach, and altars filled, and people's lives are changed. I love watching new people begin to sing and play music and do things for the kingdom of God. Nothing like watching the kingdom grow. And I want to see them go all the way. I want to see them go the distance. And from, you know, you hear about, a lot of people hear about heaven before they ever hear about Jesus. And they don't really understand what that is. But we read in Scripture where Jesus would talk to his disciples, and in John 14, he told them that, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, but if I go and prepare a place, then I will come again and receive you unto myself. Friend, I'm looking forward to that. And from the time we read those words, we know that there is a destination. I want to go the distance. Any person who runs in a race knows you get no credit if you don't cross the line. Sometimes it's not even in the way these races are set up now. They get points. Yeah, you get more points for first, but over the time of their career, they build up points, and you just got to make sure, above everything else, you at least cross the line. You go the distance. Maybe you are last, but make sure you get across the line. I know we probably got some NASCAR fans, or you know someone who is a NASCAR fan, and they don't always have to be in first place, but they got to cross the line. They get the points. So their concern a lot of times is, yes, I want to get the gold cup, but more than anything, I want to go the distance. I want to finish 500 laps. I don't want to crash out at 250. I want to make sure, because 250 gets me nothing, but 500, I'm still in the race. I'm still in the standing. And I know that's a secular thing, and we're not trying to earn points with God in what we're doing, but we still have to cross the line. We have to finish this race. We have to run this race with patience and finish. And Paul, this apostle, he writes here, he's met God on the road to Damascus. His life has been filled with ministry, and in the hazard of his life, he has been betrayed by those that were his own countrymen. He has been shipwrecked. He has been beaten. He has been stoned and left for dead. He's seen miracles, signs, and wonders. And he has fought just the enemy at the left and the right. He served God with a thorn in his flesh that God would not remove. He just hung in there, and he says finally to Timothy, I am ready to be offered at the time. Now that this time for me to leave is here, I'm ready. He's telling me that from the time God called me, I put my hand to the plow, and I did not look back. I made up my mind when I met him that I would go the distance. I made up my mind when he changed me, when he could have destroyed me, when he could have gotten rid of me. Instead of wiping me out, he picked me up and he washed my sins away and he filled me with his spirit and he gave me another opportunity. And I made a decision on that day that come what may, I may slip and I may stumble. I may fall sometimes, but I am not going to quit. I will go the distance. You got to make your mind up and not be worried about what the rest of the world thinks about what's going on in your walk with God. You've got to not worry about what people who don't understand the God you serve. They don't know the Jesus that you serve. They've never been filled with the presence of the Holy Ghost. They don't know what it's like to have their sins washed away. You can't explain that in mere words. They have to experience it for themselves. Don't let others' opinions, and they come to you trying to tell you, oh, you're just a religious freak, you're a religious fanatic, you're a holy roller, Bible thumper. I don't even know if they use those terms anymore, but they're just trying to make you feel bad for loving the God that saved you so much. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody else got nailed to that tree but Jesus. Nobody else's blood washed me but his. It ain't nobody else's spirit in me but his. And so you might not like the way I love him, and you may not like the way I serve him, and you may not like the way I worship him, but you didn't die for me. You don't know like I know what Jesus has done for me. You don't understand because you haven't experienced it yet, but if you would just taste and see that the Lord is good, honey, you'll be dancing like I dance. You'll be running the aisle. You'll be jumping up and shouting one day because you know what God did for you. Paul said, I made my mind up and now I am ready to be. I got no regrets right here at the end. We all think, well, if I could go back, there are things I would change, and maybe Paul would have too. Maybe he would not have stood by and watched them stone Stephen to death, but he didn't know God like he should have known God at that point in his life. So he had things that he would have done different, but he knows those things are now under the blood. But he puts this now to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. A good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I think the order is right. Because if you're going to finish your course, you're going to have to fight. If you're going to keep the faith, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. And Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I didn't stop. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I didn't change directions. Where God ordered me, there I went. He told me I was a chosen vessel of His, and I was going to have to do some things, and I have done everything that He has asked of me, and I finished my course. And when others walked away, I kept the faith. When I was stoned by those people and left for dead, I kept the faith. When I was shipwrecked, I kept the faith. When my own countrymen betrayed me and whipped me and imprisoned me and punched me and kicked me, I kept the faith. Because none of that makes God a bad God. Troubles and trials don't make God a bad God. He's good all the time. He's good in all of it. He's the only good that you're going to find in the middle of those kind of situations. And he said, and now that I have done that, it's time for my reward. But not just me. I'm not a special case. This is for anybody. And God will give this to anybody who will love His appearing. Some people are not going to love His appearing. Some, it will be a shameful day. But for those of us who have made ourselves ready to be offered, we're going to love that appearing. We have gone the distance. So now that I know there is this final destination, how do I get there? How do I ensure that I get there? Because wouldn't it be nice if from the time you were born again, He just carried you right on to glory? I mean, man, no trouble, no trial. You're getting out of fasting and praying. You're getting out of all kind of stuff. If you just repented of your sins, God filled you with the Holy Ghost, you were baptized in His name, and whoosh, there you go. Take off. That'd be lovely. Because we can't wait to see Him. But there is, it seems to me, a lot of life to live from the times that we are converted until the time that we see Him. However long you serve God, it's a lifetime. There have been people that lived for God for 60, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years. It happened. There's some that live for God a few years and then God calls them home. But it's a lifetime. And it doesn't matter. We don't know the day or the hour of our departure. Our life is a vapor. It appears a little while. So we've got to be doing something in this little while. So we'll be ready when it's time to go, because maybe you'll live to be 90. Maybe you'll live to be 40. I don't know. Maybe you'll live to be 20. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's a lifetime that we need to live being pleasing and found pleasing unto God. I want to go the distance. I've got to do that. And I've said this before, heaven don't just happen. You're not going to trip and wake up and say, whoa, how did I get the streets of gold? You're not going to just turn this way and, oh, look, it's the pearly gates. Heaven don't just happen. It is a place that Jesus went away to prepare. There is a place that He has prepared for us to be with Him forever. But you don't just luck up and get there. There's some things that has to happen. There is a responsibility on my part. A lot of people today don't believe that. That we have any play at all in what happens to us in our walk with God, but that's far from true, and it's not even scripture. God is our Savior, and without Him we can't be saved. But we still have to do our part in this thing. The scripture asked me a question, how shall we escape if we neglect? You know what it is to neglect? Do nothing. You neglect your car, never change the oil, never change the tires, never wash it, never clean nothing, just neglect it. Trash. Junkyard, it's going quick. Neglect your pets, they'll die. Neglect your garden, it'll die. Neglect, just don't do nothing. You don't have to go out there and throw poison on it, just don't do anything. It'll die. And you don't have to be wicked and evil and murdering people and lying and stealing and all, doing all that. He said, just neglect the way out. Just neglect the word. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Just neglect the gospel. How can you escape if you neglect it? In Micah 6 and 8, he said, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Walk with him. Be with him. God requires a relationship with him. We've got to walk with him. We've got to live for him. We've got to let our light shine. Faith without works is dead. The scripture says the just shall live by faith. But if faith without works is dead, Bible tells me God is God of the living. I'm going to have something going on in my life from the time he called me to serve him. I am not saved by works, and I'm not saying that. I know it is by grace through faith that we are saved. But if you only took grace alone, the examples you would have would be Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, who did not waste his time when the word came to him and said, a flood is coming and your escape is to build an ark. But if you love me, God, and I found grace, you'll just save me anyway. Noah, start cutting trees, brother. It's time to get ready. The flood is coming. Even the New Testament tells us, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live sober in this present time. So many today believe that they have no responsibility in their walk or even in their salvation. But the scripture says, I must obey the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. On the day of Pentecost, it says, and they that gladly received the word were baptized. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he shall not see or enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said you must be born again. We must be born of water and of the Spirit. But now that I am saved, what do I do? Paul said, fight, finish, keep. Fight for what you got. If you love it, fight for it. You'll fight for your family. You'll fight for your loved ones. People fight for their country. They fight for their jobs. They fight for their rights. How about fighting for the faith that saved you? How about praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith? How about laying hands on the sick and praying a prayer of faith and seeing them recover? How about telling somebody else about Jesus? How about fighting for what you've got? God filled you. God washed you. And this world will try to diminish that and tarnish that and rip that away from you. Fight for it. If you just lay back and say, well, God will take care of it. Friend, let me tell you, you can't always just take your hands off of it. Sometimes you got to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Sometimes you got to get down on your knees and on your face and pray to God. Sometimes you got to lift your voice and speak a word of faith. What shall we then say to these things? I'm more than a conqueror. I've been given victory, but I need to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The psalmist said, God teacheth my hands to war. He's teaching us how to fight in the Spirit, the weapons of our warfare. Why do I need weapons? Because you got to fight. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God. That's why greater is he. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want to fight. I'm scared. You ain't got to be scared in this fight. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm trying to help you today. You've got to go the distance. You've got to make it. It's great when we come to God. New birth is wonderful. We love new birth, new babies being born around here all the time. We love all these precious babies, but we also love these precious spiritual babies. That young lady, Erin, oh, last week, I want to be saved. No beating around the bush. I want to be saved. Well, let's just get right to it. And we started talking to her about that, praying with her. And I told her, I said, there's an altar service later, but let's go ahead and pray now. And we prayed with her right there. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Right behind that door, she went into that water and was baptized in Jesus' name. And we were talking about that afterwards. And about I was just mentioning a little bit about when I came to the Lord. And I was talking about how I felt it. She told her mom, said, something's moving inside of me. She felt something moving inside of her. You know why? Because it's real. Because that's the life. That's the new birth. Something's coming. It's a fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life. And this month is very special to me because not only is it the year that I was actually born into this world, but it is the month that I was born again. Tomorrow is my physical birthday. I'll be 58 years old. Can't believe it, can you? Can't believe it. I wear this gray hair to deceive you. 58. But 6 days now. 5 days ago, before my natural birthday was my spiritual birthday, January the 13th, 1993, when God shook me and brought me into this truth, into this life, into this precious salvation. You know what I mean? January the 13th, 1993, that is means I had lived 9,119 days without God. Ooh, God's merciful. That's a lot of time to get killed. Not time to kill. That's a lot of time to get killed. That's a lot of time to have an accident. That's a lot of time for something terrible to happen. 9,119 days. But when I was thinking about this on Tuesday, that was the 13th, and I was thinking about this, I thanked God for it. I was thanking God for 33 years. I celebrated and gave God glory for that day. I added that up. 33 years, Lord, that's 12,045 days. 33 years, 12,045 days, 33 years of living for you. I woke up on Wednesday, 33 years plus one day. And so when I was rejoicing about the 12,045, I remembered something on 12,046 that I got to keep going. So we basket it in the 33 years. 33 years. Yeah, but it's 12,045 days. One day at a time. One day at a time. 1 week, 1 month, another year. And then another day. At some point it was 1 year in one day, 2 years in one day. And on 33 years in one day, I realized I can't stop. I cannot take my hand from the plow. I must keep in the fight. I must stay on course. I must hold on to the faith. 33, you don't retire in this work and sit around and collect benefits after so long. You have to keep on keeping on. And so at 33 years and a day, I realized, God, I thank you for your mercy that's new on day one. Because that day one, day 12,046, was the first day of the rest of my life. Whatever happened during those 33 years, praise God, that's the past. Can't do nothing about it. All I've got is before me. I have what's right now and what I'm going to see tomorrow if I live. I've got to keep going for God. We don't give up in this. We've got to to go the distance. We've got to make it. When I came to God, there was a scripture, and I always talk about it. This is scripture where I began. And then I looked at it brand new on day 12,046. The scripture, a little background, this is what happened, the Cliff Note version. The night before, on a Tuesday night, I had decided I was not going back to church. I'm not going to serve God. I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to be a hypocrite. You know, I'm not going to show up on Sundays half hungover and eyes bloodshot from being in the club all weekend and doing the things I did. I'm making all the good excuses why I wasn't going back. Every time I went, people were just loving me, welcoming me. God was touching my life, and it was scaring me to death. So I'm not going back. And I stood on the, I had a conversation. I was talking to someone about that. I said, I'm not going. And they said, but it's good to serve God. It's good to go to church. I said, I know it's good. I can't do it. Won't do it. Left it at that. Went, got up the next day, went to work, came home. They called, said, are you going to go to church with me tonight? And I, in my mind, I said, if it'll get you off my back, I'll go. But I, something was going on. I got ready. I used to wear this big gold loop earring on this side. I would wear it every time I went to church because I wanted somebody to say something about it. Then I'd be hey, judgmental people, and I'm out of here. Nobody ever said nothing about it. I don't even know if they noticed it. If they did, they didn't point it out. Just loved me. The only one who ever said anything about it was this elder, Brother Jones. And he said, have you ever seen anything as silly as a man with a button in his ear? I loved Brother Jones. He was precious. He didn't mean nothing by it. He was sweet and humble and full of the Holy Ghost. But he grew up in a different era. And he said, I ain't never seen anything as silly as a man with a button in his ear. But I went to church that Wednesday night, and from the get-go, it was just a blowout. People were praying in the altar. Brother, if I wasn't even getting to preach, people were running and shouting, falling out, praying, and God was on me, moving on me. And Sister Rebecca Kreider was playing the organ, and she stopped all the music. She said, the Lord just gave me a scripture for somebody. Now pay very close attention here, because if you, in case you think God doesn't listen to you, I want you to listen to this. She said, the scripture that he gave me, and you can put it up, is James 4:17. Now, I was sitting back there just fighting to get out. I wanted to leave. I was like, I got to go. Something is on me. Something's happening. But I heard her say this scripture, therefore to him that knoweth to do good. So let me refresh your memory. The person said, it's good to serve God. It's good to go to church. And I said, I know it's good. So to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And when she said that, it was like time stopped. Sister Eberhardt said, say that again, say that again. And she said it one more time. When she said it the second time, I couldn't hear another sound in the room. But I could hear the voice of the Lord say, I heard you last night. And that's my answer. What are you going to do? All the sound came back. I started weeping, crying, ran to the altar, repented of my sins. Power of God fell on me. I jumped up. I was baptized that night in the name of Jesus Christ, and I never looked back. But I realize now that this scripture is not just a starting point. It is a daily reminder to keep doing what I know is right. And to keep, I can't just memorialize this scripture and freeze it in a time where I started. It's every day, if I know to do good, then I must do it because I want to go the distance. It's a daily reminder to keep on keeping on. In Luke 9:23, this is exactly what Jesus reminded us of. And he said to them all, don't care who you are, he said it's for everybody. Any man comes after me, nobody's getting a free pass. You're going to take the cross. You're going to deny yourself, then take up his cross daily and follow me. This is what God required. That's walking humbly with your God. There is nothing more humbling than the cross. And to take up that cross and walk daily with him. I realize why Paul would then write in 1 Corinthians 15 and 31, he said, I die daily. Daily I crucify this flesh. Daily I die to the flesh. Daily I put aside those things that are unlike God. I pray and God have mercy on me and forgive me. And there's nothing wrong with repenting daily. Cleanse me from secret faults. Cleanse me from things. Search me, God. Try me. Know my heart, O God. I die daily to the world. I die daily to the lust of the eye, to the pride of life, to my ego, to my flesh, to my carnal mind. I must put it under. I must destroy it, mortify it through the Spirit, and live and walk after the Spirit. This grace plus zero doctrine that has infiltrated this world is nonsense. Once saved and always saved. And let me tell you, faith without works, friend, none of that will get you ready to be offered. We must do what we're supposed to do if we're going to go the distance. Now, for a lot of y'all who were not born, just hang on. In 1976, there was a great movie, Rocky. I love that movie. I just love it. I was 8 years old. Man, we was punching everybody. There's something about it. When you would go watch it, you would come out and you just want to hit people. But if you don't know, and I used to be shocked, but a lot of people have never seen that movie, so I'm just not shocked anymore. It's about the unknown underdog who, for publicity, he's given a shot at the heavyweight title against Apollo Creed, who is the world heavyweight champion. And Apollo is a trained, skilled. He looks like a boxer. Rocky looks like a bulldog. He came up the hard way. But now he's got a chance at the championship, to be the champion. But that's not what he's concerned about. Just before the fight, he wakes his wife and he tells her, I can't beat him. She said, well, what are you going to do? And he says, if I can just go the distance, then I'll know that I'm somebody. If when that bell rings, I'm still standing, I'll know I'm not just another bum from the neighborhood. I just want to go the distance. The distance would be 15 rounds. If it was a fight today, three minutes a round, that would be 45 minutes with 1 minute of rest in between. I don't even know that they do 15 rounds anymore. I think they dropped it to 12. But in Rocky, it was 15 rounds. And in the 14th round, Apollo puts him on the mat, and he is sure that's it. But when he turns around and looks, he sees Rocky standing, getting to his feet, standing in the corner. And you just see Apollo shake his head in disbelief. They go to round 15. And after being punched and beat and bloodied, the bell rings to end the 15th round. He had to fight every round to go the distance. And he, like I said, he was punched, he was bleeding, he was swollen, he was exhausted. He broke his nose, but he still had one goal. I've got to go the distance. His eyes were so swollen he couldn't see between the 14th and 15th round. He said, cut my eyelids so I can see. Cut them. They said, we don't want to do it. He said, cut them. He said, I don't care what it takes. I've got to go the distance. I've got to go the distance. This fight, this good fight, this fight of faith, friend, I've got to go the distance. And if I have to, If I have to cut some things out to go the distance, I'm going to start cutting some things out. If I got to get a little more serious about my training, then I'm going to get a little more serious about my training because I want to be able to endure and go the distance. Because let me tell you, missing heaven ain't an option. Not hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant, that's not an option because we don't get another shot. In the world, they might get a second shot at the title. But honey, if we miss that trumpet, if we miss that well done, we don't get another shot at those streets of gold. We've got to go the distance, get right, get saved, and then keep going for God. Serve God with everything that's in you. Whatever you find to do, do it with your might, do it with passion. Friend, love God, love people. Hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Rocky didn't go 15 rounds. He didn't go the distance by abandoning his training. But in the middle of the flurry of punches, he had to remember, cover up, duck, dodge, weave, step back, sidestep. He had to remember what he had been taught. He had to remember the skills that he had. And he had to remember, most of all, don't give up. Keep going. How hard can you get hit and keep moving forward? That's from another Rocky movie. And so on day one of year 34, I was reflecting and I realized more than ever, I want to do what it takes to go the distance. I don't want to recline on 33 and watch 34 slip by and slip away. But if I can make up my mind I'm going to go the distance, I will hear, well done. The scripture talks about in the last days there would be a great falling away. And today so many are falling away from what saved them, from what kept them, from what consecrated them. They have forgotten their training. They have forgotten the things that made them who they are. And they wonder why they don't see the power of God in their life as they did before. The things that set them apart, they have laid aside, choosing to blend in with the world instead of being that called out holy nation, peculiar people, that new creature that God has made them. But Paul, this man who was ready to be offered, would give this advice to the church in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, the saints, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, if you want to go the distance, don't blend in with the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Be a new creature. Be a holy person. Be righteous unto God. Live your life by faith. Serve God. Praise God. Talk about God. Go to church. Tell other people about God. Friend, just live for God. Get the right mindset. You're not who you used to be. Stop trying to put that new creature back in the old situation. You don't want to go back there, but you want to keep moving forward. Love not the world. Come out. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. These are our responsibilities that help us go the distance. The scripture says that if we are mindful of the country that we come out of, we'll have plenty of opportunity to go back. Quit daydreaming about where you come from and get your eyes on where you're going. I desire a better country, one whose builder and maker is God. And I want to hear him say, enter in. Well done. Good and faithful servant. The scripture said, let your garments always be white. Stay unspotted from the world, and let your head lack no ointment. Stay under that shadow, that secret place of the Lord. Stay with him. If you fall, get up, because he's there to help you. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect and never make a mistake, but my God, keep going in the right direction. Don't bail out on God because you made a mistake. Don't bail out on God because you had a tough season. He loves you. He gave his life for you. You can still get up and go the distance. Over and over again, and I know it's just a movie comparison, but he would get knocked down and he would get up, and he would get knocked down and he would get up. He's like, I'm not stopping. You'll have to kill me to keep me from getting back up. Well, if I have to give my life, then I'll give my life. But when it's done, I want to say I went the distance. In Acts 2 and 42, after Peter had preached that great message, 3,000 souls are baptized and people are filled with the Holy Ghost and they're having revival and signs and wonders and miracles are happening. It says, say they just went on off and did whatever. It says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It matters what you believe, and it matters who you fellowship with. It doesn't mean that you're unfriendly to strangers or people you don't know. Fellowship is different. You've got to be careful about who you fellowship, that you don't start partaking of those kind of things that they're doing. They said they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship of that doctrine in the church and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Friend, let me tell you, we've got to continue in some things if we're going to go the distance. We can't just get born again and say that was the end game. Because guess what? Just being born again ain't the end game. There's still life to live for God. There's still a work to do on this earth. If we didn't have anything to do, he would have took us. As soon as we're born again, get up here. Get up here and just celebrate for eternity. That's it. But he knows there's a work that needs to be done, that there is a light that needs to be shining, that there is salt that needs to be sprinkled in this earth. He knows that he needs a church so those that don't know him can know him. He needs somebody going the distance. Paul's life is a life you can look at and study. And as he said, follow me as I follow Christ. You can follow his example. Being born again, not a one-time deal. And it's not just a yearly return. Every year they would go back to Jerusalem at Pentecost, but it wasn't, well, every year we'll come back and remember what happened last Pentecost. No, what are you going to do for the next 365 days? And so I don't just go back to January the 13th, 93 every year and say, oh, that was great, man. God really changed my life, and then go do what I want to do. I have to remember, I've still got to do what's right. I still got to do what's good. I still have to keep serving God. Daily. Verse 46 of Acts chapter 2 says, and daily, God was adding to the church daily. Praise God. And they were doing these things daily. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue. This is just before he wrote he was ready to be offered. He tells Timothy, continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of who you learned them from. He said, you know who your teacher is. You know who I am. He said, so remember the things that I taught you. Remember these things that I taught you from the Lord and continue in those things. Oh, I tell people all the time, I say, man, if pastoring would be a lot easier if people would just do what the Bible said. Man, I guess it'd be boring. But I'd rather be bored knowing people are living for God. Continue in the things you've learned. Continue in the things you've learned. Don't lay them aside. They don't get old. They're not out of date. They're not out of fashion. Continue in them. Don't remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have said. And you can come to the music this morning. And you can stand with me. We must earnestly, the one writer said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's how we will go the distance. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, John writing to the church, to the beloved, he said, "Let that therefore abide in you." If it abides in you, it's going to stay in you. It's going to live and thrive in you. Jesus said we should abide in Him. That means live in Him and through Him, because in Him we are complete. So let the things therefore abide in you that you heard from the beginning. Can't let go of what got you here. If that which you heard from the beginning remains in you, then you shall continue. If you'll hold on and won't let go, then you'll keep going. Then you'll continue. You'll continue in the Son and in the Father. But you've got to hold on to what made you. Don't walk away from that new birth experience. Don't walk away from that Holy Ghost that filled you, from that blood that washed you. Don't walk away from those things, but continue in those things. And then as you learn about consecration and separation and just those things, prayer and fastings, and you learn those things, don't walk away from those things. That's what will help ensure you go the distance. John said in verse 25, "I write this concerning those that seduce you." There's always going to be somebody or something in this world that's trying to get your attention with something that catches your eye, something that you like, something that appeals to your flesh. That's what seduction is. That'll make you something different. That's how they fell in the garden, seduced, that they would be more like God. And wasn't concerned. What about that? It was just, you're not supposed to break His commandment. But that seduced them. And there'll be people who tell you, "We got that same stuff over here. We got people jumping and hollering. We got loud music. We got people that run and they, you know." And you won't have to listen to all that other nonsense that preacher says. Just come on over here and you can be you, and God loves you just like you are. So there's a little bit of truth in everything they say, because God loves you just like you are. But He loves you way too much to leave you that way. That's why He makes us a new creature. Old things have passed away. An old baseball Hall of Famer said, his name was Yogi Berra, he said, "It ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till it's over." I could quote Rocky again. He said, "Ain't nothing over till it's over." And it's a very simplistic statement, but it's true. It's not over till it's over. In other words, you can't quit in the middle of the race and expect to win. I've talked about this before when this happened last year. There was that Olympic, and you've probably seen this video, this Olympic power walking thing they do. They look ridiculous, but that's a race. And there was this woman, I think she was from, maybe from Italy, and she was going to be in third place. She was going to get that medal for her country, and she just knew she had it. She's done took her country's flag and threw it on her back. She's not crossed the line yet. She's going, but in the background, you see this other woman. She's coming up, and she ain't paying attention. She's smiling. She's sticking her tongue out. She's just like, "Ah." And all of a sudden, they played in slow motion, and she hears that footstep, and she looks, and it's just like this look of despair, because she doesn't have the strength to push a little farther, a little harder, and that woman passes her right at the line, and she loses. Because before she went the distance, she decided to just pull back. If it's that important, why did you stop? If it means that much for you and for your country, why did you get silly right there at the end? Why not just finish and then rejoice? Why celebrate? You see, just search celebrating too early and see all the videos you get and the people who end up just grabbing their head thinking, no, I lost because I stopped before I got across the line. You do not want to stop before you cross that line. You don't want to stop before you hear that trumpet. You don't want to stop before you hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. It's too important. It ain't over till it's over. There was great agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, but it wasn't over. His sweat became as great drops of blood, but it wasn't over. There was great pain and humiliation at his judgment, but it wasn't over. He could have stopped it at any time. He told him, don't you know now that I could ask and my Father would send angels to deliver me? I could end this, but it wasn't over. Indescribable agony as his ripped up body was nailed to the cross, but it wasn't over. Only when he lifted up his voice and said, "It is finished." If he checks out before any of that, we have no salvation. He was the Messiah, he was our Savior, and he went the distance for us. Let's go the distance for him. Let's go the distance for him. Let's make our mind up. Let's get sold out to this life and not worry about if somebody will make fun of us or not worry about if they won't include us anymore. Friend, let me tell you, I worried about that when I got in church. I had so many friends. We did so much. And man, when I got in church, none of my friends would come to church. Wanted nothing to do with it. And it grieved my heart. And one night in a youth service in prayer, the Lord just used a guy to come and talk to me, and he said, "Don't worry about those that won't have anything to do with you anymore." And he quoted that scripture. "For what will it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" He said, God will give back anything you've given up. Let me tell you, I made some of the best friends and church family, and now at this stage of my life, all over the world, people I know who serve in other countries that I count as dear friends and people I can pray with or sit down and eat lunch with and hang out with, go play golf with if I wanted to, go hunt. I'm going turkey hunting with Wayne Huntley. If you don't know who Wayne Huntley is, you should, you don't say his name around Pentecost much and nobody not know who he is, but I've made great friends. And I still love the ones that I used to run with. I talk to them every once in a while now. Call them up, just talk to them, see how they're doing. Still wish they would come see me at church. None of them have ever heard me preach yet, 33 years. And they're scared. If it got him, it's going to get us. Because he was crazier than all of us. You know, we don't stand a chance if we walk in there. I read where I posted my testimony online. I read this to my wife the other night. I said, this guy that I knew back then, he was like, "Wow, brother, I never knew that." And he said, "I was terrified of you." He said, "Back in the day." He said, "Woo." He said, "I was scared of you." He said, "It's awesome to hear what God's done in your life." And one of the guys that I was real close with, he said, "Love you now and I loved you then." And I know it. And I won't go, "Yeah, but I wish you'd bring your stubborn self to church." But I just keep working, talking, inviting, One day they'll come in, and maybe one by one, God will break that ice off around their heart. But if I quit now, it wouldn't matter. That would be the same if I quit 2 weeks into it to them. Knew there wasn't nothing to it. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to ever be the reason somebody thinks there's not nothing to this. This is the best life going. And I didn't deserve it, and I wasn't worthy, but He loved me despite all of that. And if He would take a chance on me, honey, I'm going to finish this. I'm going the distance. Make your mind up. Just throw your shoulders back and say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going the distance. Praise God. While they're playing this morning, would you come and pray? Would you come spend some time with the Savior this morning and just, you know, if you've been struggling, if you feel like you've been tossing around the idea of taking a step back, why don't you come recommit this morning? Say, God, I'm going the distance. I might get hit. I might get punched. It might be a rough round. I might even get knocked down, but I'm getting up. I'm going to go the distance.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.